It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning, to be able to come together and worship together as a church family. Thank God for a place that He's provided for us to come. Amen. This month, the month of June, our theme we've been talking about is going to be dealing with I am uniquely me. I am uniquely me. We're going to be dealing with the word unique, because that's what we are. We are craftsmen in the hands of God who created us for a distinctive purpose. And I pray that you will begin to receive that, because in this last day, it's important that we understand who we are and what our place is here in the earth. These are the last days. I believe the coming of the Lord is soon. And I believe these are days of greater ministry than ever before. And as we find our place and begin to operate in that place, and the place is what God wants you to find and realize who you really are in Him. I want to talk this morning about living on the edge. Living on the edge. There's 3 points I want to bring out this morning. One is about position, problem, and prayer. Position, problem, and prayer. The Lord led me to 1 Kings about Solomon. Now, I love the Word of God. I've given my life to the Word because it's the Word that brings you through. How many of you know that a lot of things won't help you, but the Word will help you? If you've ever been in distress, if you've ever been in a point in your life where you were at that breaking point and could find the Word and start reading the Word, the comfort of the Word is because it's alive. It's not a book. It's different than any other book in the library. It is a real living testament of a mighty God who's still alive today. Amen. And God led me to, as we begin to talk about uniqueness, God led me to a man by the name of Solomon. We know him as one of the greatest and most wisest men in the Bible, but he wasn't always that way. He was just like you and me. Sometimes we read characters in the Bible and we say, oh, how great they are. But when you really begin to understand who they were, they're really no different than you and me. God became great in their life, and the greatness is that they leaned on Him. So in this character here in the book of 1 Kings, David's reign is almost over. He's lived his life. Now God is raising up a new king. And have you ever had knowing that there's something in your life that can't quite put your hand on it, but you know God's got more? I want to say on the outset this morning, this message series, this month, is going to be for those who realize God's got more for me. Have you ever felt like a small person in a great big world? Have you ever wondered, well, what in the world can I do? Because we don't really feel like we're not all that popular, we're not all this, that, you know, we can always name everything, like all through the Bible, you know, when Moses was telling God, God, I can't do this because I can't talk good, I don't have the ability, and all through the Word of God, you know what I found out? The great men of old and the great men of today didn't realize they were great. Men who are really great don't realize they're great. They don't look at themselves as great. It's the ability that God has given to them. I want you to know, and the message for today is that God wants you to understand, you don't have to be somebody else. You remember when David was getting ready to fight Goliath, and the army was standing around, and he said, I'm not going to let this giant do this to my God. And Saul took his armor and started giving it to him, and it didn't fit. How many of you know today that somebody else's armor doesn't fit for you? You got your own armor. You are your own person. My assignment this morning is to push you or motivate you to the point that you can think about God's got a unique calling for you. We pick up here about Solomon in verse 3 of chapter 3 of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 3. is a beautiful time in the history of God's kingdom. Solomon is here, and the Bible said, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Now think about, and we're going to talk about David in just a minute, walking in the statutes of his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. I love this. I've read this over and over again, and I tell you, I could just read you this scripture this morning, shut the Bible, and we walk out and go home and be blessed. How many of you know the Word will do that? It'll bless you just by reading. Solomon, with all of his reign and all of his glory and all of his attire and everything, is in the process of worshiping and honoring God. And in verse 4 it said, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. Well, that's a message in itself right there. The king, the royal Solomon, in all of his attire and all of his entourage and all the greatness of his kingdom. You remember, to be a part of the Israel, to be a part of that kingdom was just the epitome. But this king was going to Gibeon to sacrifice there for that, the great high place, 1,000 burnt offerings, 1,000 rams did Solomon offer upon the altar. So Solomon's now beginning his reign, and he's got all this heaviness on him, and he's worshiping God. He's offering God all these sacrifices. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, knowing the heart of Solomon, knowing where Solomon was at this point in his life, just like you and me, as we look at this big world, we say, what in the world can we do? And he began to pray. And God showed him something in a dream, and ask what you will, and I'll give it to you. And here's Solomon's heart. Look at this. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David. His first thought was his father, David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. See, David was a man after God's own heart. Men want to point out all the faults of David, but how many of us would be able to stand today if everybody pointed out our faults? Anybody got any faults here this morning? Aren't you glad we serve a God that looks beyond our faults and sees our need? Solomon is now remembering his father and the greatness of his father. And he's talking to God. And he said, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, thou hast kept him this great kindness, for thou hast given him a son, talking about himself, to sit on the throne this day. And thou, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David. Can you feel the heaviness? David, what an act to follow. He was mighty. When David walked in a room, everybody trembled because he was so authoritative. As a young boy, he brought down giants. He destroyed lions and tigers and bears with his own hands. I just had to say that. He was just awesome. Yes, he had problems, but God loves us in spite of who we really are. But he was used of God because he knew that it was God was his authority. And he used that authority. And when David walked in, people trembled. And now he's gone. And Solomon is saying, Lord, you're giving me, this responsibility. And God, look what he said in verse 7. Now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. Look what he said. I'm just a child. Where would our nation be today if our leaders would get on their knees and say, God, I can't do this. I'm just a child. I feel his anointing here. I know not how to go in and out. I don't know how to do this. Every time God calls you to move forward, every time God calls you to live on the edge, every time God calls you to step out of where you are, you will always deal with fears, because what he's calling you to is greater than what you are. It's greater than what you are. That's why the Bible said the just shall live by faith. And he's saying, God, I don't know how to do this. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people. Now look at that right there. I am here in the midst. And can you imagine now, David in all of his reign and all of his glory has moved out. And now Solomon steps up to the podium and everybody is looking at him. What can you do? Who in the world are you beside of David? That's what he's feeling. You ever felt intimidated? You ever felt like, what do I have to give? Did you hear me when I told you when God created you, he created you wonderfully, made you with a design and order and uniqueness that nobody in the world can be you? Is that awesome or what? And he says, verse 8, and that, I may not do nothing but read the scripture because this is good. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. God, look at all these people, thousands of people. Look what he said in verse 9. Give thy, therefore thy servant an understanding heart, that I may judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this so great a people. And look what God said. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. This is beautiful. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked for riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked the life of thine enemies, but thou hast asked thyself understanding to discern judgment. Look at verse 12. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart. Look at the next part. So that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall arise like unto thee. Solomon, you're not David, but David's not you. Isn't that awesome? This morning, the problem with uniqueness, what hinders uniqueness, is imitation. There's an enemy out there who continually wants us to imitate or try to be somebody else. Sometimes we're made to feel like who we are is not good enough. We find ourselves sometimes looking around and judging ourselves by what others have, the talents and the abilities, or the way they look, or the way they act, or what they drive, or where they live. And we find ourselves saying, well, I'm not that, and I'm not good enough to be that. But I want you to know this. Get this point right here. Nobody can beat you being you. Nobody can beat you being you. You have a unique role, and that is to be you. Get this. You cannot be duplicated. We may wear the same hair. We may wear the same clothes. We may try to sound like a like or whatever, but nobody can be you, because when God made you, he made you specifically, uniquely different. Nothing like the real thing. Remember that song, Nothing Like the Real Thing? You are nothing like the real thing. You have been equipped to function in a uniqueness Three words I want you to put in your vocabulary: imitation, duplication, and intimidation. Imitation. The devil wants you to be somebody else. He wants you to duplicate. Well, they seem to be successful, so not if you to be successful. You've got to do this. And intimidation. He wants to intimidate you to the point that you take that gift that God's given to you and hide it under a bushel. We learned that in Vacation Bible School. We learned that when we were a child. Don't put your light under a bushel. Remember that? You got a unique light that's burning. And guess what? Your light is burning because somebody in this universe needs you. Somebody in this universe needs you. And the scripture that we read to you this morning, Solomon had been called to the edge. He was going to have to deal with intimidation because he was intimidated by David. He was intimidated by such a wonderful leader. And here's what he's thinking: what in the world can I offer this group of people that David has not already given them? And God says, I've honored you because you have asked me not for money, not for things, not for all that, because those things will not change people. How many of you know that people has won the lottery and a month later or a year later they're broke? So we have learned that those kind of influences fall to the ground. But who you are will remain for all eternity. He says, I'm intimidated. I'm just a little boy. I'm scared. I'm over here in the corner and I'm crawled up under in the corner with tears coming down my face. Because God, I can't do this. Intimidation says stay put. Intimidation says you cannot do it. But I want to tell you, in God's vocabulary, there is no place for cannot. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Amen. Great men never see themselves great. And every one of them wrestle with fear. And every one of them have found out the pain of life is what produces the purpose. Glory to God. People are more effective when they minister out of their hurt and their pain. We don't always understand why we go through certain things we go through. We don't always understand why God. But as we hang on and ask God for wisdom and understanding, God, give me, help me learn, God. We come through it and we're able to help somebody else down the road. And we begin to understand, well, God, that's why. Three things I want to give you real quick. The clock's broke, so I might preach an hour or two, whatever. Amen. Number one, Solomon's unique position. His position. He offers up 1,000 rams. He comes to God with his honesty. You know what? God is not intimidated with your honesty, because when God calls you, you're exactly right. You cannot do what he calls you to do. We cannot build this church by ourselves. There's not a day that I walk in here that I'm not intimidated, because this is bigger than me. I can't. Who can motivate people today? We can't go have anything to offer anybody that has not already been offered. So what is the difference? The difference is the glory and the anointing of an almighty God. Because with God, all things are possible. Amen. His position. His unique position. He's before God. And he says, God, this opportunity that you've given to me. Can you imagine now? He's standing in all of his royalty. His robes and the gold and the glitter, and all the thousands of people are standing around waiting for his leadership. What do we do now? He's standing there and he's intimidated. You know, have you ever been so intimidated you felt the heat just rise in your body and your face gets flushed because I don't know what to do? Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I don't know what to do. Did you know that's the greatest answer in the world that you can give to God. God, I don't know what to do. Leadership is not grabbed into the person that can do everything. Leadership comes from one who is motivated by one who is greater than him. All great people in the world have been ministered to by somebody. I learned one time in studying about great leadership, great leaders surround themselves with great leaders. Nobody has the ability to do everything. Nobody can do everything. Nobody has a Superman tag on their shirt. Nobody has it. We have to rely on other resources. That's why God created the church and the body of ministry, because there's many parts in the body, but we all work together for the common good of glory of God. He's saying there, God, this position, as I look into this world, as I look in building the churches in this last day, when men's hearts are failing them because of fear, as I look at trying to be a leader in this last day when nobody wants to be led, we live in a day now where everybody knows everything. Amen? Amen? And the younger they are, the more they know. Amen? And they just know. How do you lead somebody like that? You can't do it within yourself. You have to learn to rely on God. He said, God, stay with me now. He said, God, you've asked me to lead, and I just want to follow. You ever been like that? God, you're calling me to be a leader. You're calling me to get out front. And God, I'm really comfortable with just being in the back. God, you've asked me to stand up, and I just want to sit down. I can't do all this. Why don't you just get somebody else? Have you ever told God that? And God says, I'm calling you to the edge. Because when I called you, I called you. And I need you. Because I planned that you would do this thing. But God, I can't do it. God is calling you to edge, and there's more. Listen, here's what God wants you to get this morning. Northview, there's more in you than what has come out. There's heights that you have not reached. I don't care how old you are this morning. If you're here this morning and you're 100 years old, or you feel like you're 100 years old, there's more for you. There's no retirement in the kingdom of God. Amen? There's always something you can do. When you begin to go to the edge, get this real quick, you got to curse the spirit of apathy. Because the spirit of apathy, guess what it says? This is good enough. If you go to a doctor and you need major surgery, and you got a specialist who is top notch, who is world renowned for that surgery, and then you got another guy over here who's good enough, which one do you want? Amen? Come on, which one do you want? God is saying, when I created you, I took time out of eternity and I made you. And when I made you, get this. His attention won't on nobody else but you. Is that awesome or what? God, who created the world, paused and said, be quiet. I'm making you. And he stepped back and he thought, I'm going to give her this personality. And I'm going to give him this ability. And I'm going to do that. And so when you were born on such and such a day as your birthday, that's when you came to the earth. But you were created a long time ago in the mind of God. And God put the pieces together and he said, I need you for this hour. And you were born. And just like the enemy did Adam and Eve, and just like he does today, he rushes over real quick to us to put all this garbage on us so that we'll lose out on who we really are. Real quick. Solomon had a unique position because, you know, those of you that study the Bible know his past. You know his father David had his encounter with Bathsheba. Uriah's wife, and if you notice, you study the word, it always refers to Uriah's wife. Doesn't really call her Bathsheba anymore, but David killed Uriah because he wanted this man's wife. He had a low time in his life. And when Solomon was born, it meant something. Solomon was unique because when Solomon was born, and Solomon was born out of David comforting the loss of a child. And then Solomon was born. When you begin to picture all this, a beautiful picture of Christ, the unique purpose of Solomon, the unique position of Solomon was, when Solomon was born, it expressed God's forgiveness. Isn't that beautiful? It expressed God giving a second chance. Glory to God. Aren't you glad for second chances? Anybody ever had a third need for a third or fourth chance? Amen? David was a great leader. And so that was his position. Lord, you know my past. You know what I've been through. What in the world can I do? And here's this problem. Here's this problem real quick. I'm not David. One of the worst things you can ever do is compare one child to the next. Why can't you be like your brother? Why can't you be like your sister? That's the most hurtful thing you can ever say to a child or to anybody. Why can't you be like the neighbor? You know, this man, your husband, I mean, he's doing his best trying to be everything he can be, but he's not like Joe Doe who lives on the corner down there. He can fix anything. Why can't you be like him? And the husband ain't going to say it, but he wants to say it. Why don't you go get him? Amen. But you know, that's a hurtful thing. So the problem he had was that I'm not David. Please get this part right here, real quick. Unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations. Guess people expect you to be something they won't. Isn't that a hard thing? People expect you to be something they won't. They expect you to be more than they can deliver. Get this. Sometimes people hold you to a level that they can't even live by. Amen? God, you got to get this point right here. I'm almost done. God only expects you to be you. One of the most hurtful things in the life of a child or the life of any individual is for somebody to try to push talents down your throat that you don't have. Everybody's not a genius. Everybody is not gifted in academics or some are better than sports. Some can take their hands and fix anything, but to figure something out in their mind, they can't do it. You know, everybody's got a unique talent and ability. When your car tears up, you don't go to your physician because he probably can't even change a tire. But aren't you glad for that man that can change a tire? Amen? When something happens in your house and your air conditioner's messed up, you don't go to the supermarket manager. You call somebody to help you. Why? Because everybody's got talents. And we recognize. So the position and the problem, and here's his prayer. God, you've asked me to lead, and I just want to follow. You've asked me to stand, and I just want to sit down. God, you're calling me, and I'm just a child. Did you know that 70% of the sicknesses today are stress-related? You know where stress comes from? When someone puts more on you than what you can do. Amen. And the intimidation is so strong. You know what I've learned? Get this. And I'm coming to a close. Somewhere in the middle, you've got to find peace.
And the peace of it all is when you realize who you are and what you're capable of doing. The happiest you've ever been in your life is when you take the Superman cape off and you just be honest, as Solomon was. He said, God, what is behind me is crippling what is before me. And I just can't do it. And God said, you have asked a tremendous thing. And you know what I'm going to do with this, Solomon? Your name's going to be so great that you're going to be remembered above David. In other words, David's remembered what he did, but you're remembered for what you did. Amen? You cannot go into a new thing with God with an old mind. So our prayer today is, God, give me wisdom. I'm asking you to stand to your feet. God, give me wisdom. As we talk about being uniquely me, what is it in your heart that really touches you and blesses you, as heads bowed and eyes closed? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your holy presence today. God, we come to you this morning in the semblance of this place, this crowd of believers. God, we come together this morning in this crowd of believers saying, God, we don't know how to build this church. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to go, and we don't know how to do it. But we know that you do. Now, God, we ask you that you would enlighten us with our abilities and our talents. And even though we have to deal with fear, help us, God, learn to be free. Help us, Lord, to be free to be me. Free to be who I am. Free to enjoy the gifts and benefits that God has given to me. God, I can't be like everybody, but I can be me. God, I can't do what everyone else can do, but I can do what I can do. Father, we thank you today. We challenge this people today. We challenge this congregation today to be everything that God's got for them to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning.